believers are surrounded with spiritual blessings. And oftentimes we forget this, and we struggle along with difficulties. The pathway is hard, and there are trials, and we forget sometimes the immense blessings that God pours out upon his people. And occasionally it is well for us to just pause and think a little bit about those blessings that God keeps on pouring out upon us. The first text I'd like you to turn to is Exodus chapter 15. This is a song of celebration that the Israelites sang when they were delivered from Egypt and had the opportunity to praise God for his mighty power. In verse 2, "The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him." Now, this is loaded with spiritual significance for us, because we too stand in a place of deliverance where the Lord Jesus has broken the chains of sin, set us free, and we are now his people to walk with him, and we too can sing a song of redemption and praise. The Lord is my strength. If you trust in your own abilities, you're going to fail. If you depend upon yourself to get yourself through the difficulties of life, you will fall flat on your face. The world is designed to do this to us. Those who are self-confident and arrogant come to a bitter end. The believer in the Lord Jesus Christ does not walk with arrogance. He walks in humility. He knows that his entire life depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by grace that we are saved, by grace that we're sustained, by grace that we make it through life. And so, as the believer thinks about this, he remembers that the Lord Jehovah is my strength, all the strength you will ever need. He's also my song. And we've been singing about him and his greatness and the wonder of his salvation, and that's great. But we must remember that we must never depend on our own strength. We haven't got any. The Lord has all the strength that we will ever need, and we can depend upon him every day, every moment, for all the strength that we need. In Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 27, the song of Moses celebrates another attribute of the Lord's great spiritual blessings. Verse 27 says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." Now, a refuge implies hardship, trial, attack, persecution. Oh yes, we're on enemy territory here. We're in a wicked world. We're surrounded by people who don't know God and couldn't care less. We're on a pilgrim pathway, and oftentimes we're going to meet hostility. We don't have to seek a bomb shelter somewhere. The eternal God is thy refuge. He's always there. You're never going to have an occasion where he is not there. You cannot be attacked alone. He won't leave you alone. He's with you. He is your refuge all the time. And to make it even more striking, underneath are the everlasting arms. He'll see to it that you don't fall. He'll see to it that you are sustained. And that's everything. It's not your strength. It is not your powers of endurance. It is his strength, his power to sustain. And that's where our trust must rest, always. If you depend on yourself, you're going to fall flat on your face. If you depend on the Lord, He is always going to take care of you. He will always sustain you. He has never failed. That's tremendous comfort for every believer. Your walk does not depend on how good you are, how strong you are, how discerning you are. You may have problems in all those categories. You have a great God. Always underneath are the everlasting arms. Friends, we must learn to recognize this and to face the trials, the difficulties, and the problems with confidence and serenity. It's not a pathway that has surprised God. He's led us down that pathway. He is entirely sufficient, fully able to take care of us, whatever the circumstances are. And we must understand this and walk with serene faith and confidence. He knows the pathway. He is the pathway for us. And we walk with Him in peace. In Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Now, what a wonderful series of images he uses to portray the protection that God provides for his people. In the ancient world, when armies were looking for a secure place, it was a rock that was difficult to scale, and they'd be safe there. And that would be their outpost. But the rock transformed into a fortress, defended not just by the troops that happened to be there, but by God Himself. If He is our defense, if He is our fortress, and who is able to reach us? Now that should thoroughly convince us of the power, the willingness, the ability of God to take care of us in any situation, any place, any time. He can never be surprised. He can never be defeated. He is our fortress. And we must let that soak in. We shouldn't go through life worrying, concerned over things and circumstances. He's in full control. We may not see the solution to the problems, but He has solutions to every problem. He is a fortress. In Psalm 84:11, the psalmist says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly." Now, the sun sustains life on our planet. If we didn't have a sun, we would be a cold, dead rock. But the sun enables life to prosper on this planet. But God is not only like the sun, radiating energy and strength to His people. He is a shield, a protection from harm. Now, in the ancient world, warriors carried shields, and they were big, heavy, iron shields that weren't easy to carry around. Boy, they were very necessary, and the soldiers depended on them. When they stood opposite another swordsman, and he swung at them, that shield was the only thing between them and death. And let's face it, friends, the only thing between you and death is God. Every day you walk in the midst of danger. Every day you can be one step away from your last step in this world. No one knows how long they're going to live. But God is with you. He Himself is your shield. There's nothing to worry about. You're going to accomplish everything that He wills. He's going to see to it that you are protected, that you are carried through whatever difficulties may be there, and will come to accomplish his purpose for you in this life. There's peace, serenity, because God is your shield. In Isaiah chapter 40, one of the great chapters in the Old Testament, dropping down to verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, what is it to wait upon the Lord? In the ancient world, there were attendants at every royal court who waited upon the king. What did they do? Well, they weren't doing any particular thing. They were standing by at attention, ready should they be needed. If the king wanted something done, that's why they were there. Now ponder that for a little bit. If we are in the category of servants of the Lord, that means we should be standing at attention in his presence, waiting for orders. For most Christians, that is not their attitude. They're here having a good time. They're here enjoying life. And there's nothing wrong with good Christian fellowship. That's fine. But remember the image. For every believer, our true attitude is waiting on the Lord, standing at attention, thinking, how can I serve him best? Now, with that in mind, a lot of times you see people differently. They don't happen to be just somebody you accidentally meet. There are no accidents. You met them because God intended you to meet them. What does he intend you to say to them? It's a good thing to ask. Do they need a witness? Do they need encouragement? Do they need help of some kind? Why not find out? Too often, friends, we drop the ball. We're there with someone and we have an opportunity and we don't take it. We just let it slip through our fingers. Why? Because we're not thinking of being at attention, standing in the presence of the Lord, wherever you are. And what is it that he wants you to do on that occasion, at that moment? If you ask, you may discover he's got all kinds of things for you to do that you would not normally think of doing or saying. Friends, we must be alert to Christian service, alert to the presence of God wherever we are, whatever we're doing. God has a purpose behind it, and if we're listening and watching, may discover remarkable opportunities. God must be the center of our attention. He is why we're in this world. We're not here to enjoy life. We're not here to get rich. We're not here just to fellowship with other people, pleasant though that may be. We're here to accomplish his will, whatever that is. And we need to keep asking him, Lord, what is it that you want me to do now? What is it that I should be saying now? We need to be asking for orders. Far too often we don't. And the opportunity was there. We missed it. And afterwards, oh, you know, I should have said something to that person. I should have given him a tract. Well, you had the chance, but it wasn't real. You weren't standing at attention ready. And we must recognize all of life is like this. It is not just an aimless wandering. It is following a prescribed pathway that your Lord has marked out before you. And he opens doors, and he brings people into your pathway, and there's the chance. Lord, what is it you want me to do? What should I say? Do I have a tract in my pocket? a lot of times never crosses our mind. We must be alert, ready for orders. When Isaiah says, "They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." He's talking about things that we can't do. You can't mount up with wings like an eagle. You can stand there and flap your arms as long as you care to. You're not going to get off the ground. What does he mean? He means that the Lord makes all the difference. If we are going to accomplish spiritual things, we have to have spiritual strength. That has to come from him. And so that means we must actively seek that strength, that wisdom, that guidance. What is it that he wants us to do? Ask for orders. Listen. He's able to communicate to you exactly what he wants you to do. And in doing that, he supplies you with the strength, the ability, the grace, whatever it is that you need. It's his. He can impart it. You don't have to worry about it. He gives the orders. He gives the strength. You just obey. Now, friends, we must learn how to think this way. We don't normally think this way. We think in terms of what I can do, very little, or what I can say, sometimes the wrong things. But when we're thinking in categories of what he can help us do and what he can help us say and who he can help us reach, then it's an entirely different world. These are spiritual blessings that you can't buy. These are spiritual things that are in a different realm, that are free for the asking. For he's right there, holding them out to every believer. We just don't know. When it says, "They shall run and not be weary," that's one of the most encouraging statements that I can find in Scripture. I don't know about you, but at my age, when I run, I get weary. For some of you, you know about running until you do get weary, even though you may be young and healthy. But friends, for all of us, we're keenly aware that there are strict limits to our endurance. We can go only so far or so fast, and that's it. But here's a blank check. When you're in the Lord's work, accomplishing his will, you can run and not get weary. Well, that's not a normal thing. That is a supernatural thing. That is something that God enables. It doesn't happen just automatically. And so, yes, we need guidance, we need wisdom, we need direction. And when the time comes and the opportunity is there, you know, run and assume that God has the strength. Ask him for it. And assume that he has a purpose in the occasion that he opened for you. And assume that he can accomplish his will by his grace and reach out to do it. There's assurance there. There's also peace in knowing that what you are doing is not something you're manufacturing. It's not something you're trying to work up. It's something that he's doing. And he's opening the doors. And he's making the opportunities. And he's helping you do his will. So, you can go forward with peace and serenity and recognize, yes, this is the pathway. It may not be an expected one. It may be one that may be difficult as far as you look at it. But it's his pathway, and that means you're fitted exactly for that pathway, and he is able to give you the grace and the strength and the wisdom, whatever else you may need, to accomplish everything that he intends. There's peace in that. There's also spiritual victory. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, when Paul says, "God is able to make all grace abound toward you. That's something that we have not plumbed the depths of. And we need to recognize this immense promise. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now, this is a staggering promise. It is a blank check offered to every believer. You don't do Christian work just because you are so skillful and so well trained and all of that. There are some of the highest trained people in the world that are bunglers when it comes to spiritual work. I know people that have gone through Bob Jones University, trained as finely tuned as could possibly be, and they go out and meet shipwreck. Why? Because they're trying to do it themselves. They're not letting him do it. Friends, God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He's not addressing apostles. This is an apostle talking. He's addressing the people at Corinth. We've been hearing about the people at Corinth. They were a miserable lot. They had tremendous difficulties. Didn't make any difference to God. He was able to accomplish everything that he intended through them. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, not just toward apostles, not just toward special favorites. He's talking to people, believers, even to this generation. He is able to make all grace abound to you. Now, digest and absorb that. You need to make that a matter of definite prayer, that God will indeed impart to you the grace you need and will enable you through that grace to accomplish everything that he intends. He can do it. You may not, but he can. And I hope every one of us recognize this. It's not a matter of your innate abilities. It's not a matter of your steely determination. None of that counts. It's his grace. It's his enabling power. It's his presence with you. This is what is going to make the difference. And that's what you must claim. Let him take over. Let him use you. Let him be your spokesman. Open up his word. Let that be your sword of the Spirit. And expect spiritual blessing. In Philippians chapter 4, a very precious text. Dropping down to verse 7. The thought starts with verse 6. Be careful, anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word keep is the word for troops to garrison a city. The peace is like a garrison of troops. Guarding the city, there's no attack possible. There's no disturbance that will happen. God is in complete control. That's the image that is there. And so, don't worry about anything. Why should you worry? God is in complete control. He is able to accomplish his purpose. He is able to use you, even you, to accomplish everything that he wants to through you. Now, when that grips our hearts, there is an immense peace that comes. It is not the peace of self-satisfaction. We have none. It is not the peace of self-assurance. You aren't in the picture at all. He's in the picture. You have that peace because he's there. He's in your heart. It's his word that you're talking about. You're trying to reach people for him and let his word do it. Perfect peace here. You don't have to worry about your argument. You don't have to worry about opposition. He'll take care of all of it. Spiritual blessings of his presence. Peace that passes all understanding shall garrison your heart like a troop of soldiers. How marvelous is that grace. Friends, God has poured out upon us spiritual blessings beyond imagination. And we oftentimes don't understand what he has done for us. And we don't thank him. But we need to think of these things, especially at the Thanksgiving season, and remind ourselves of what he has done for us and what he is now doing for us and what he has promised to do for us in the future. Spiritual blessings of staggering import. His favor resting upon us. There's such a precious thought in that. The favor of God rests upon his people. On the wicked, judgment rests. But on his people, God's favor. He is pleased to do things that will bless and benefit and help his people. He is delighted in this. How wonderful that we serve a God like this. And so, yes, he is our salvation. He is our strength and refuge. He is that mighty rock. He is a sun and a shield. He is our strength. He is all the grace we ever need. He is the peace that passes understanding. All of it comes to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't work it up. We can never deserve it. We can never repay him. It's gracious, a gift because he loves us. And in Christ, he pours out upon us these spiritual blessings, not just for a little time, but for all eternity. He'll pour them out for endless ages to come because he loves us in Christ. Friends, do we love him in response? Every head bowed. Forgive us, Lord, that we forget how infinitely great thy love and kindness and grace is. Forgive us. Help us to keep conscious in our minds how great thou art, the greatness of thy love and grace and kindness. And help us to live day by day in the light of these spiritual blessings. In a Thanksgiving season, Lord, we indeed give thanks and praise and celebration to thy name. Thou art far greater than we can imagine. Thy love is infinitely great, and we know that in Christ we have all blessings, and we thank thee, Lord. Help us by thy grace to be conscious of these things and to learn to walk with thee day by day and to live in thy presence, to seize the spiritual opportunities that we may have to share with others the infinite grace of a loving Savior. Help us to walk with thee and talk with thee and live for thee here in this wicked world and there in thy presence forever. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.